How do you get permission for something like Crossrail 2? Well, how do you get permission for Crossrail 2 specifically? If it's worth going back to first principles, why don't TfL just start building it? Launch their tunnel boring machine at Tottenham Hale and dig all the way through London. Well, there are various reasons why you can't do that. First of all, probably the most important one, TfL do not own most of the land. So it would be trespass on people's land to start digging on, building on it or digging underneath it. Unfortunately, Crossrail doesn't count as fracking, so the infrastructure bill won't help them there. A lot of work will need to be done at the surface, and we'll need blocking up highways, footpaths, all sorts of public rights of way, and it's actually an offence to do that on purpose, so there'll be need some way of waiving that. It is, of course, something that needs permission, some sort of planning permission. You can't just build without planning permission or an equivalent. And then there are all sorts of other more minor things like listed building consent might be required and so on. So you can't just launch into it. You must get some sort of permission, obviously. In fact, the regional option, that's the one that you've been looking at this evening, is likely to actually be required to have consent under the Planning Act 2008. But that's not necessarily the way it will be consented, as we will see. There are in fact two possible methods, really. So there is consent under this Act, the Planning Act 2008, but if that's compulsory, the only way you could avoid doing that is by having another Act that disapplied the Planning Act 2008. In other words, its own Act of Parliament to authorise the project. So I'll just briefly describe these two methods. It's not been decided which one Crossrail 2 will use, so it's worth listening to both of them for the moment. So the Planning Act 2008 is the regime that brought you the Thames Tideway Tunnel. Hinkley Point C nuclear power station will probably bring you another runway at Heathrow or Gatwick. Hybrid Bill brought you Crossrail Line 1. It's currently grappling with HS2 Phase 1. So they are both used for very large infrastructure projects. The process under the Planning Act has been around for just under 5 years. It'll have its fifth birthday on the 1st of March. It has certain features. There are a series of national policy statements that set out the need for infrastructure. And the idea is that you don't then argue about whether your project is needed when you make the application. There is compulsory consultation before you make the application, although all good developers would consult people on their proposed application. This time it's actually you have to, legally, and it's quite complicated what you have to do. If you're affected by the Thames Tideway Tunnel, you may be aware of this. It has the advantage that lots of different consents can be combined or disapplied in the single overarching development consent, as it's known. Although there are some minor ones or that you can't combine, so you may need to apply for separately. The process is managed pretty much by the Planning Inspectorate in Bristol. Third parties, i.e. objectors or possibly supporters, make representations to the Planning Inspectorate, and then a panel of inspectors, between one and five, I'd imagine there'd be five for a project of this size, are appointed. And they examine the application and all the representations and then make a recommendation to the relevant Secretary of State, that would be the Secretary of State for Transport, who then makes a decision. Probably the biggest advantage over the hybrid bill process is that there is, for much of the process, there's a fixed timescale. It's technically a maximum timescale, but it tends to fill up to reach the maximum. So, for example, once the examination of the application started, you can almost guarantee you will get a decision within 1 year of that start. Finally, the process is mostly done in writing, and that, boy, is it done in writing. There are thousands of documents, all appear on the Planning Inspectorate website, which is quite a task to read and digest. Possibly no one has read all the documents on some of these big projects. I did have one of my clients confessed he hadn't read the whole of his own application documents, so because it was so huge. But there we go. I won't reveal who that was. There are, however, a few hearings. There's not a massive public inquiry like you used to get for Heathrow Terminal 5, the classic example. There are a few days of hearings. Hinkley Point C had 14 days of hearings as a sort of yardstick. That was Thames Tunnel was a bit of an egregious one with 45 hearings, but that's been that never been repeated. Hinkley's second with 14, just to give you an idea there. So moving on to the other method, a hybrid bill. You may wonder why the word hybrid is used here. It is a bill in Parliament. It leads to an Act of Parliament like any other Act, but it's a hybrid of one set of rules for what are called public bills that affect the law generally, and for private bills that affect a particular class of people. In the case of Crossrail 2, it's the people living near the route of Crossrail 2. And so the process going through Parliament is a combination of the rules for public and private bills, hence the word hybrid. This, unlike the Planning Act, this has been around for much longer. When I circulated this slide amongst my colleagues, there was a frisson of sort of, I said 200 years initially, I've changed it to 100 years. The oldest hybrid bill we can find is 1851, 163 years ago, 64 years ago. So it is quite a long-standing regime relative to the Planning Act. Its features are as follows. Once the bill, like any other bill, has a second reading in front of the whole House and then again in the other House, once it's got past that vote in the first House, the principle of the project has been established and you can't then object to it. In principle, you can only object to the way it affects you. So that's a big tick in the box for the project once it's got past that stage, which the Planning Act doesn't benefit from. Although, if a national policy statement says that your project is needed, that's almost not too far away from that. There is no requirement for pre-application consultation in statute, because this is its own statute. Although, obviously, pre-application consultation is carried out, but there's no prescriptive method for doing so. As it's an Act of Parliament, theoretically it can do exactly what it wants. There's no act sitting above it telling it what its limits are. So theoretically it can do anything. Obviously it is constrained by things like the Environmental Impact Assessment Directive, the Habitats Directive, or certain international treaties and law. Instead of planning inspectorates, it's obviously managed by Parliament itself, two halves of Parliament. It starts off in one house, normally the Commons, and then the second house, the Lords, which are separate. In this case, third parties can object to the bill by lodging what's called a petition. If you're following the HS2 process, this will be quite familiar to you. A committee of MPs and then a committee of peers will be appointed to examine the petitions and hear people's representations on them. That's what's happening at the moment on HS2. They're gradually going geographically down the route. They started in Birmingham. They've got to Northamptonshire, I think, roughly. So it's going to take a while. They started, when did they start? Last July, I think. So they're probably about a third of the way through the route, so you can work out how long that's going to take. There are, indeed, no fixed timescales, unlike the Planning Act, so it could take as long as it'll take as long as it takes. Although, obviously, the promoters of the bill want it to be as short as possible. And these committee meetings are held in both houses, and they can take a very long time. The government originally predicted that this act would receive royal assent before the election, but everyone in the industry knew that was hopelessly optimistic, as it has proved to be the case. So a feature of both methods, they of course both will allow Crossrail 2 to be built and operated. Harking back to that first slide, why do you need this sort of permission? They both act like a giant compulsory purchase order. Crossrail 1 involved the acquisition of 5,500 parcels of land. I suspect Crossrail 2 will be somewhat more than that, given that it's got a bigger central section. And of course it can do all those things in the first slide that you need to do, like stopping up and diverting rights of way, whether it's a bill or a development consent order under the Planning Act, and all these other things like listed building consent. What you don't need to do legally, but is the sort of main argument while the application is being examined, whether in Parliament or by the inspectors, is how much environmental mitigation the promoter of the bill is going to concede, as requested by those affected by it. And that's the sort of main arena for debate during the progress of a bill or a development consent order. So I hope that's given you a flavour of which one of the two methods that are going to be used, one of which is going to be used. I think the method will probably be chosen later this year at some point.